The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother, me, an advice show from the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm a sweet baby Griffin.
Been an exciting week here at the McElroy Ranch. I'm down 4 teeth. Got my Wisdos yoinked. So that's been
amazing. Do you not understand that that's like this podcast moneymaker? Like, Travis and I don't know shit about fuck. And you had all the wisdom in the world. And you gave it away just because it was for aesthetics. Because your mouth was too wide.
It was too beautiful. That was the it was distracting in conversation. People couldn't focus on my ideas, my big ideas, my big world changing ideas.
Because your giant back teeth.
Because of your beautiful, shining, perfect back teeth, and one broken half. So it seemed like the time.
Well, that's a good time to do it.
Like, you were just burning through your wisdom so quickly doing this show that was part of your wisdom tooth had to rot and fall off because you used it up.
Mindfulness teaches us the importance of knowing when to let go of things. And for me, that knowing when to let go of my wisdom teeth was predicated on one of them breaking and
shattering.
Did you go to your local Zen center to have it removed?
Jagged stalactite of chewing. Sorry, Travis.
Did you go to your local Zen center to have them removed?
No, I went ahead and went allopathic on this one.
In what possible manner could a Zenster rip them bad boys out?
Listen, anybody can remove teeth from anybody. I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying that, like, you get really centered, you focus on your breathing, pop, 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 teeth out.
Okay. Travis, you had a momentous week too, right?
I did. So my friends in LA are Lyft drivers, and I'm a big fan of the idea of Lyft
like weed,
and
Uber. Weed delivery?
No, that would be awesome, but it is a service in which it's kind of like a crowdsourced taxi. So you sign up to be a driver, and then it's like Uber, Lyft and Uber, big fans.
Okay, crowdsourced taxi, so it is, in effect, definitely, usually, weed delivery.
Yes. And so I said, oh, I want to try that out, mostly because I was just curious about what it was like to be a driver for them. So when I got back to Cincinnati, I signed up for it, thinking that if I like it, when I move to Los Angeles, I'll start doing it there.
They'll already know you.
Yes.
You'll be an experience.
Lyft
and Louie. The world's greatest Lyft driver.
Yes, and they'll be super impressed because my car will be so clean, and I'll have the best hard candy in my
traveling Trav's Gypsy Taxi,
which is what I spray painted on the car in anticipation for this.
Yeah, you did jump the gun, it seems.
Well, so what happened is, what's supposed to happen is you fill out your application and then you click a button that says like start mentor Lyft now or something like that, and then it contacts your mentor and your mentor drives to you, and then you drive around, and that's kind of your training session. Well, so I filled out the application, I hadn't cleaned my car yet, and I wasn't ready to go, so I kind of I stopped at that point, and then my mentor called me and was like, hey, let's just set up a time so that way I can make sure that I'm free and available and in the area. And I said, okay, great. So we set up the time. So then we met on Wednesday. I'd scrubbed out my car. I'd like detailed it. I'd gone to town cleaning it. And we met. He gets in my car. And he's like, okay, great. Now just hit the start mentor Lyft now. And I press it. And a screen pops up letting me know that my application has been denied due to my driving record. While Duder is sitting in my car. And his response was, ah, man, that sucks.
Well, your car smells like farts. Your car smells like farts anyway, so you wouldn't have passed. So bye.
It was so awkward because he started looking on his phone to find out like the FAQs of why someone's driving record to be turned down. And it's like, it's cool, man. It's fine. Please get out of my car. Yeah, it's all right. I give up.
You don't realize this, but we've reached the end of the anecdote. So you need to move on with your life. I would offer to drive you somewhere, but clearly that is not prudent.
I'm amazed that he stayed in the car any longer once he found out about your driving.
Oh, God.
Like, I know the I know the car's sitting still, but you are capable of some pretty whack shit behind the wheel of one of these bad boys.
Well, so then it really, my favorite part was when he said, do you know why it would say that? I was like sitting there thinking, bro, I'm not just going to run through all my vehicular rampages with you.
That's a very charitable. It's like when you're at the store and your credit card gets declined, you think it's their computers? No, I don't think it's their computers.
You know, this card reader's really been acting up. I'm sure it's not you.
Did you remember to activate it before? No, did you mention it?
I cannot stress enough, I still really like the idea of Lyft and Uber, so I'm not at all knocking them, because it was like, as I was sitting there going,
Do you think
I did send them an email that was like, hey, so Travis here,
I've learned a lot about myself and my body, and like how that pertains to operating a motor vehicle over the past few years. So if you can look past all the, shit, I wrecked because I was emailing you while I was driving.
I wish it could be like my credit score, where if I could say like my wife is a way better driver and she'll be in the car with me
the whole time.
Listen, Curbed and Ubo and Lifting, if you are listening, please. I love my brother. If there's a criteria that is more important to you than has good driving record, I can't imagine what it could be. Please don't let him smooth talk you in.
You know what I provide as a Lyft driver, Justin? An experience.
Oh, God. Right? That's not what anybody wants. That's what people
play Crazy Taxi all the time.
Yeah.
They fucking played that level in Die Hard 3 where you drove around the taxi, which I think was the whole game, actually.
Jesus Christ.
No, it's 1/3 of the game because there was also. Never mind.
No, that was a Die Hard trilogy game.
But listen, nobody wants an experience in an Uber. They want absolute silence until they arrive at their destination. They don't want to get creeped on.
You got to give them hard candy.
Don't fist them at all.
I always get the feeling in Uber, because often they pull up in such nice cars, I always get the feeling in Uber that the guy's like mid-party. Like he just took someone cool to a party place and he has to do that again later, but he has time to work me in to take me to Shake Shack.
Does it smell like Brad Pitt back there? It should. And there's a reason. A good reason.
Maybe I prefer to think that he was mid-drive with Brad Pitt and said, oh shit, I got an Uber request. Hop out.
You gotta get out, Pitt. I'll swing back around.
Pop out, Bradley. I'll circle back around. NBD. Let's help people. Recently,
I didn't do anything this week.
Oh, okay. Recently, servers at a fast food chain I eat at regularly are starting to recognize me and know what I will order.
Oh, boys.
Is this a hint that I should back out? Should I start going to another restaurant? Mm. It's not that I don't enjoy being noticed, but eating at a single establishment so much that various workers who work different shifts know you and your food preferences, yet not even your own name seems like an easy way to a dangerous place. Should I take my lunches elsewhere? That's from Nervous in Newport.
I don't ever remember on the show Cheers when Norm would walk in and everyone would yell Norm and he would go, maybe I should start going somewhere else.
This is not a Norm.
What they're yelling is Filet-O-Fish meal.
Like, yeah.
Here's the thing. That's a stigma that I think is really unfair, because how is that different from going to a local diner and they know you're going to get the BLT? Like, just because it's McDonald's, okay, great, you like McDonald's. Don't change your preference just because you're afraid people will judge you. That's not a good way to live your life. That's not a healthy...
Travis,
Filet-O-Fish, then get the fucking Filet-O-Fish.
You sound like the fathead guy right now. You sound like the guy from the hit documentary Fathead that sought to discredit Supersize Me and everything that it did, where you're just like, eat what you want. It is America and it's freedom. And I guess it's true. I guess it is America and I guess it is freedom. But if you only eat Filet-O-Fish, you're going to die.
He didn't say he only eats filet. Like, that's what he has
Travis,
for lunch.
Travis,
that's his rockin' lunch.
Travis, you're going to die.
You're gonna die. Welcome to McDonald's. We got fries and meat. Apple pies.
Yeah, I guess McRib is back, but you're not gonna be. You're gonna die.
Don't do this. It's
I will say, okay, let me addendum. Maybe vary it up. Doesn't mean you have to stop going there, but maybe only go there like once a week, or try something different, or go there once, twice every 2 weeks, something like that. but maybe it just means that it's time for a little bit more variety in your life. I don't think that means you got to feel bad about wanting to eat there and wanting to have that food.
I would,
but
I
like maybe change it up.
Okay, I don't under 2 points. One, I've always wanted to have that at like in my hometown. I live in a small town. You would think there'd be places that I could go where people would say like, "Hey, it's the J-Man. How are you? You want
hey,
the usual?
Hoopster.
Hey, Hoops." That happens at my local pita pit, I guess. There's probably other places now that I think of it, but not every place. I want it universal. Secondly, why are you going inside a fast food restaurant? I know we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
It's an old chestnut. I don't understand why you're not just going through the drive-thru. Maybe you could do that if you want to keep your Filet-O-Fish schedule because you have obsessive compulsive disorder. If you need
it's 1:31. Oh, it's Jesus.
1:31. I need my crunch. Maybe you could just go through the drive-thru like an adult.
You know what sucks, though? You know what really puts me off? It's not just the food that you're eating that's killing you from the inside out like a parasite. It's that they don't know your name. You're in a relationship with this McDonald's or this can we say Arby's? It's just a funnier
yeah.
name.
We yeah. feel better about
you're
that.
You're in a relationship with this Arby's.
We have the weirdest sponsorship deal with them.
And like yeah. you they don't give a shit about you. They just want to force feed their floppy sloppy meats down your throat and then get your money in return for it. And the fact that they know what kind of meat you like, but not your name, man, they're not going to put in the effort. They don't love you like you love them.
No, they're just streamlining the process mm-hmm. and saying, like, okay, great, go ahead and start an Arby's McRib tickler, whatever. Yeah. And that way you can just go ahead and, like, get your meal faster and be done with the exchange
now,
trigger.
The Arby's McRib tickler, that's the Arby's sandwich.
With peanut butter on it.
But it has a stick in it, like one of those joke popsicle sticks.
Uh-huh, correct. Because it makes you, like, wait one more second for the sandwich, and that hesitation is what makes it
that
so delicious.
That sweet orgasmic
Griffin
moment.
It's so right. You're in a bad relationship. You need to get out of this relationship. You need to get out. You need to get yourself a new man. Strong, proud, black man who's going to treat you like the queen you are. And that is not this Arby's. That's
clearly, culture. Yeah. Is there a new fast food restaurant? Can you guys think of like, have you guys heard of that new hot fast food restaurant that just hit the scene and it's really taken charge? That new fast food enterprise business that is really just like hit the scene in late 2012 and it's just like fucking growing rapidly. Nope. It's just pretty much just Subway and BK, Taco Bell, McDonald's, Jack in the Box.
No, here's what you gotta get. This is one of the great things about fast food is where you gotta catch them is that every once in a while, a restaurant will get into their marketing groove of, we're not bullshit anymore. Like,
no.
Remember how Domino's...
Domino's is
like, hey, listen, we've been bullshit for a long time, and our new thing is we're going to try.
Well, that's what happened with Carl's Jr., isn't it? Carl's Jr. is like, we're doing Angus now. Get on board.
Well, the Angus revolution hit a lot of different places. And I feel like the growth wasn't that hard. I feel like McDonald's even like put their foot down like, no Angus. The line must be drawn here. We're going to use the same like earthworm shit that you idiots have been guzzling down. All right. How about a Yahoo?
Yeah.
We need to pick up the pace on these shows. I feel like we spend too long on questions. And
that was a deep well. There was a lot of comedy in
there. We hit the advice nug, and then we like sit on that nug for a long time.
Yeah.
This Yahoo was...
They fixed that in editing. Our producer fixed that in editing.
Yeah. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Scott. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, shit. Is this name Jerry or Scott? We should
Jerry Scott.
Put in the effort. This one was sent in by...
I'm Scott Jerry. Jerry Paulson.
Are you eating right now, or is that just the sound your gums make now? Your bloated, ruined gums.
It's just flappy, slappy holes in there. No, I made some... I got for Father's Day, I got a donut maker from my mother-in-law, who apparently wants me to celebrate Father's Day by not being around so long.
Yeah.
And so you decided the perfect time to consume said donuts was when you were 6 inches away from a microphone.
Well, listen, I didn't know you guys were going to say all that funny stuff about Scott and Jerry. My defeat.
Justin, are you waiting? Are you listening to this this podcast while performing it, listening for pregnant pauses in which to sneak tiny hidden kisses into your donut.
Here's the other thing that is occurring to me is that I did take that opioid about 20 minutes ago.
Oh, no.
So okay, I think great. The show is starting to turn on that axis.
You're riding the lightning right now. You're riding the dragon. The dragon made of lightning.
Remember when I compared fast food chains to strong, proud black men?
Yeah.
I think at that point the worm might have turned. Yeah. Let us continue. Sorry, Scott, Jerry, that's making a lot of work for me.
He's really earning his paycheck this week. This Yahoo sent by Diamond Member level 150 Shaman of Yahoo's Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user Michael, who asks, is there anything I should know about before going to a nudist resort with family and friends? I'm 13, and my friend and his family are nudists. When I'm at his house, I strip down, so I'm perfectly comfortable with being around other people in the buff. My family aren't nudists, but they invited us to go to a resort with them, and we all agreed. It will be me, my dad, my mom, and my younger brother. He's 9 if that provides help. I've read the official rules online, but I want to know about the social etiquette there. Now, I thought a nudist resort or a nudist colony would go like Outback Steakhouse style of no rules, just right. But apparently there are boundaries that exist.
Okay, here. And I want to be really careful here. Like, hey, if you're a nudist, that's totally cool. Like, that's your deal, and I'm not going to judge you for that. It is weird.
Do you think there are nudists? Do you think there are nudists that listen to our podcast?
Yeah. All they've got is a smile and a pair of headphones, and I respect
them. They don't even have the headphones.
It's just like everything. There's a rich subculture with rules that we'll never be able to understand or be respectful towards in the context of our show.
Okay, we can respect
them. I don't think anything's wrong with this. I'm just, and maybe this is like anathema to those people, but I feel like the idea of the nudist camp I'm into.
Oh, yeah.
I'm way into that.
Yeah.
A lot of, and I'm sure it's just hard bodies. Hard bodies as far
sexiest.
As just sexiest hard bodies as far as the eye can see. Here's the thing, you kind of lose me with the kid angle.
Yeah,
I feel like a 9-year old.
What's that thing that the Amish do where like you hit a certain age and you go off into the world for like a couple months?
Rummikub.
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
I feel like
Rumspringer. There it is.
I feel like that should happen like once you pass age 10 to like age 18. Those 8 years, you're not allowed to be there.
At the
nudist. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Because you're just going to be leaking fluids that you or I don't understand.
Yeah. It should be like once you get old enough to realize that this is like a strange thing, you're not allowed there
if
anymore until you get to a point where, like, I've seen this in other contexts.
Mm-hmm.
If you are so old enough to where you don't drop your pants around your ankles at the urinal, if you're older than that, I feel like you can't be there.
Well, because it's a certain level of awareness, right? Like, oh, now I'm suddenly aware but not comfortable enough.
You know what? That's exactly it, Travis. But sometimes when a kid does that at the urinal, I feel like it's a power play.
Oh, it's the biggest power play.
That's where we lost it. Like, the moment I stopped doing that is the moment I let go of something primal and savage in myself that connected me to Gaia, I feel like. The moment I stopped dropping trowel completely. And, like,
did your primal scream to the sky as you peed in the urinal.
And you know what the problem is? It's, for me, I would do it. You know me. I don't have anything to hide. Down there,
right?
I don't have anything in my zone. It's not even smooth like a Ken doll. It's just negative space.
You look, and it's like your eyes drift to the right. You can't just look directly at it.
Chest, belly. You get a little bit of hip bones poking out, and then there's nothing. Like I'm like Rayman down there. I just like my legs connect through some mysterious magic. Anyway, I would do it, but bathroom floors are so dirty, and I don't want my pants butt to touch that.
True. Yeah.
If your pants butt gets wet from the floor, the wetness on the floor, you're done. You're done.
You're in that bathroom forever.
Yeah.
You have to leave those pants there.
The image that I can't get out of my head because it's incredibly funny to me is this 13-year-old dude rolling up to his friend's house, walking in the door, and just like, foomp, foomp.
Finally, I'm free.
Been a hard day at the old salt mine.
Doris, you got any cupcakes? Naked Doris, my friend's naked mom. Did you make cupcakes for us?
For the last time, Steven, we're not nudists. You walked in on us having sex once.
One time.
Ah, that's cool. That's cool. These ants on a log, sort of a public thing, or you save these for a private snack?
Get out of our house. Right, okay, see you tomorrow.
Can I say that's how Matthew McConaughey met me.
This is the best How I Spent My Summer Vacation report I've ever read, Mr. McElroy.
Closing, I'm Mark Twain, and that's the last thing I ever wrote.
And now I die.
Oh. So please sign up for my Patreon.
Mark Twain. This may be a contentious statement, but I think if your family agrees to go on a journey with this other family that will involve your whole family getting their dicks and their vaginas out, then they are, in fact, nudists. They have crossed the Rubicon, the nudicon.
Yeah, I don't think it's like I don't think there is a partial nudist where it's like, I'm going to dip into it publicly for a weekend at this resort and just see how I feel.
And I know we're talking, I know it's a complex subject, and I'm sure that we are frustrating a lot of people right now, because you can like be into it for like a week and then hop out and say like, well, it's just not for us. There's probably a lot more to that lifestyle than just like, oh, these people are naked. Cool.
Spiritual.
There's a lot more to it than that, I'm sure. But, like, I don't know, man. I think about, like, that is not something that I think I would ever do unless I was, like, fully into the lifestyle. I don't know. Maybe I should go full 30 days.
Maybe you should be nude at home first and then invite, like, one friend over.
I don't
over
even
and be
do
nude.
That. I can't be nude by myself because the cat's here.
and he'll judge you. Sometimes when my dog watches me poop, I know she's judging me.
Yeah. There is a moment that I wish I could be there for at nudist camp, and that is you drive there with clothes on, and then you park, and you get your key to your room. When does everyone sort of look
good
at each other and
question.
Say, like, well, I guess now we should take our clothes off.
Especially if it's your first time and you don't know. And it's like general knowledge that like you get undressed in your room and come out. And like the front desk isn't cool with just naked people walking in. But you don't know that because it's your first time. So you're sitting in the car doing that awkward like, we're not going to get out of the car, get naked. We're going to do it here in the seat.
I'm sure there's like a prison processing room where they take
with the lousing powder and everything.
Sydney and I went to a murder mystery weekend last year.
I'm worried about this story.
No, hang with me. We went to a murder mystery weekend last year. We've been a few times since then. Scraps went with us to one last year.
Dopest thing.
It was a lot of fun. But our first time, you go in character, you have your costume, you have your old backstory. So we did the first two nights, and then the last day you show up to find out who killed who. We always solve it, so there's robbed some of the drama. But we showed up in costume, in character, and found out once we arrived there that on Sunday morning, nobody's in costume or character anymore. It's sort of like all bets are off. I tell this story as a way of illustrating that something like that would almost certainly happen in a nudist camp, and that's what genuinely terrifies me about it. There would be some thing where, no, we're never naked for this.
We're not naked for the church service.
This is church.
We're never naked for this. You can't take communion?
Whoa, you perverts.
Are you genuinely right now naked on Cinnamon Roll Saturday?
That's the one time none of us get naked because it's
did
so
sticky. Did you not
sticky.
Read the welcome pamphlet?
It's the one day.
That's the one stickiest day.
One sticky day that we don't get naked. And it's counterintuitive because otherwise we could just go down to the sex hose and blast off after we get sticky.
Do you think there's a possibility that this 13-year-old boy's family does not know
that they are going to prison
camp?
No,
that it's like, hey, mom and dad, the Stevens invited us to a weekend, a vacation with them.
Wow. Oh, and you're thinking they discover when they get that you're making kind of a Jim Belushi movie now.
Yeah, it's like, hey, son, why are there so many dicks and balls everywhere?
Where's the balls come from?
Why am balls here?
Bryan Cranston falls from grace in his new movie, Oops, We're at a Nudist Camp. And I took my
Oops,
whole family.
Balls.
Wayne Szalinski is back in Honey, No One's Wearing Clothes. Honey, I blew up my spot.
How about another question?
What if Bryan Cranston took over for Rick Moranis in the role of Wayne Szalinski in a remake?
I would watch that so fucking hard.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Mm-hmm. The third actor after Peter Scolari to play the role.
Who did an excellent job. Doesn't get enough attention for that role.
You know
but
what?
He really
captured
it.
The Wayne Szalinski
really
spirit.
Really did great.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, read a question. You're going ahead.
Oh, I do this. Okay. What if this episode becomes everybody's favorite and okay. I have to keep...
Doing Kyra Kojo?
I have to keep taking opiates.
I don't know if I can get behind that. Do you want me to read the question, Bubby?
This is our behind the music, isn't it? So a while ago, I got a large TV to put in the living room of my apartment so my roommates and I could enjoy hosting people for movie nights and such. One of my roommates is a mechanic, and while fixing an engine, the living room started to fill up with engine parts. So because I did not expect to do much hosting while the living room was a mess, I moved the TV up to my room. Now the engine is fixed, the living room is clear, but I've gotten used to having a big TV in my room.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's right. Should I give up having such a nice luxury item in my bedroom and return the TV to the public area, or should I revel in my greed and hoard it all for myself? And that's from TV hoarder on the Illinois border, who, judging from his name, has already made his choices.
What do the other people in the house even do now?
Do they just, like, draw a picture of a TV on the wall and they just, like, stare at it and sigh?
They paint.
They have conversations with each other and read fine novels.
Mm-hmm. No.
They really embrace life to its fullest, and they don't engage in distraction behavior. Mm. Or they sit quietly and hate you for taking away the TV box.
Every time they look at you, they see a big TV.
He's the one with the glowy screen.
I mean, I would do it just because, like, I mean... I get in pretty unhealthy patterns of watching TV for a day, like all of it, like from the moment I wake until the moment I reach my sweet slumbers.
Oh my God.
But
we discovered that there's a surprise, you know, I did not know this, but there's a surprising amount of TV on YouTube. And you can look up, like, especially international stuff. Sydney and I accidentally discovered that all of the Canadian version of Shark Tank, which is called Dragon's Den, as it is most of the world, is on YouTube.
Except for America, where we do not fear dragons.
We don't fear dragons.
We conquered them!
We conquer the dragons, so now we have sharks. But yeah, there's like 8 seasons of Dragon's Den on YouTube, and apparently that's there's a lot more where that came from. So that has been a problematic situation for us, knowing that there's... Fresh Dragon's Den.
Right.
I want to address a bigger problem here, which is why the fuck did your roommate bring engine parts into your goddamn living room?
Yeah, that's where you live. It's not where, like, you engine.
You wouldn't say, like, my roommate is a veterinarian, so he's neutering cats here.
No. He's expressing, like, anal glands in the kitchen.
Tell him to keep that shit outside where engines belong.
Where they go. It's outside exclusively.
And then you would never take the TV box away.
What I was saying before is that, like, I'll watch TV in an unhealthy way, but as long as I'm doing it with my wife, then it's an activity and not
bonding.
And not a vice.
Well, there's also something like, until I moved in with Teresa, I always had a TV in my bedroom, and she is not a fan of that. At first, that was really off-putting to me. But now it's kind of nice, because for the times, like, when we get sick or one of us is ill and we move the TV into the bedroom, it really does become an anchor.
Oh, that, yeah.
Like, keeps you in bed or brings you to bed early, and you don't really do a lot of shit. At least in the living room, you do more stuff. Like, I can work on the computer while the TV's on, or I feel like at least I'm sitting up or walking around.
What about the terrifying what if the darkness creeps up on you while you're in your bedroom and you're trying to get dressed? Like, what do you do then?
I sing a little song to myself about how lucky I am to be alive.
Okay. How's that go? How's that song go?
Thank God I'm not dead. Okay. Because the world would be empty without me.
Okay.
It usually kind of then devolves from there into how awesome
I am. About how great you are. Yeah, sure. Sure. Boy, I think we're all pretty lucky Travis is still kicking.
I just assume everyone sings a song like that.
Thank you, nice God, for Travis. Where would I be
He's
without?
The sun in the sky and the stars at night, who guides me home on the choppy seas. Thank Jesus for Travis. Travis is Jesus. And then just kind of keep going.
Thank Travis for Travis, his all-seeing power. Thank Travis for Travis.
problem. People don't write enough hymns about themselves, you know?
But to the first stanza of hymn 341, thank Travis for Travis, and Travis is Travis. Our hearts are all Travis, and brains are Travis too.
Third stanza.
Oh, man.
I need some thank Travis for Travis propaganda posters.
You know, Travis, I feel like there's been this narrative among some of our listenership that you don't get the respect that you deserve on this show. So, like, I'm all about, like, I don't know, canonizing you.
I also want to point out, one of the reasons that happens is I don't really need it. I take care of that on my own.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, that it is a little bit of that on Travis goes quite a long way.
So visit TravisMcElroy.com.
A little dabble
for all your Travis McElroy needs.
Let's go to the Money Zone.
Yeah.
Is it Money Zone time already?
Mm-hmm. We've had so much fun.
Boys, I want to tell you about your face.
Please do.
You're not boys anymore. You're not little children. You're men. And as men, you need to start taking care of the gift that God gave you, your visage and your shavables. We're going to help you out with that by telling you about Harry's.com.
Now, I also want to make one more thing clear before we move on, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Men are not the only human beings that shave.
Yeah, but women also have shavables.
They shave their shavables.
Okay, you didn't even let me finish. I was talking to you first, and then I was going to branch out from there.
How come the men got to go first?
Because I was talking to you. Humans.
Just talk about us as mammals with hair on our bodies.
I have two brothers. I don't have any sisters. I was just talking to you.
You have two humans.
To my siblings, who can shave whatever the hell they want to, I want to tell you about Harry's.com.
I've been waiting for permission from you for so long to get my toes did.
Buying razors sucks. Razors are really expensive. They keep them behind glass. They treat you like a criminal. If you buy them, you have to come over and they'll like unlock them for you, or they're in a clamshell and they cost $100,000. And they're the worst.
Why do they protect? Like, that's.
Yeah.
There are other things in this Walgreens that could kill people with way, way, way easier. Is that it?
But you know why? Because they're so expensive.
They're like $45.
But yeah, Harry's is going to give you a better shaving experience for a fraction of the price. They got these great German engineered blades. They sent us some and they were like great. I had a great shave with them. It actually, no kidding, got me off of I had been using safety razors. Mm-hmm. I've been doing wet shaving. It actually got me off of that because I was enjoying the Harry's experience so much.
And not only did they give you a great shape, they look really classy.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
They have some really good looking blades. And it's the kind of thing where anybody like who's in your bathroom snooping through your stuff and finds out is going to be like, oh, I bet this is a really expensive razor. Then they'll probably steal it because you have shitty friends.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks really nice and doesn't at all look like the cheap razors you buy at the store that cost you $45 for a package.
Nicely weighted. For $15, you're going to get a box that includes a handle, three blades, and shave cream shipped to your door.
That is less than like a refill of just safety blades.
One of the co-founders is the guy that started Warby Parker. And,
oh shit, that dude's taking over. Yeah,
So he's blowing up. He's a rich guy. Go give him more of your money by ordering online. It's super easy. You just go to Harry's.com and you're going to use the promo code MYBROTHER, all one word, and they're going to give you $5 off your first purchase. So that's a crazy deal. That's $10. So for that basic kit. So I'm still using the shaving cream, by the way. It's great, very luxurious. Yeah. I'm using the other stuff too, but I'm still on that initial tube of shaving cream. It lasts quite a while.
Does it have a scent?
Not overpowering. It's just sort of a general,
just clean. Pleasant.
I would say unisex. I would say a man or a woman could use
freshness.
And you know, I'm a bearded gentleman, but I still use it on like my neck and the back of my neck.
Yeah.
And you know, and my wife used the razor as well, and she's a big fan. So go check it out. If you're looking for a new, affordable, classy shaving experience, go to Harry's.com
and use the coupon code MYBROTHER. As long as you're upgrading your life, why not upgrade your finances too? Go to simple.com. It's the way banking should be. They're rebuilding banking from the ground up. There's no minimum balance. There's no monthly fee. There's no overdraft charge. And there are 55,000 fee-free ATMs and they have photo check deposit. I'm a simple customer. I signed up. It is really, really an easy way to manage. Like, just this week, I didn't have to go to the bank because I took pictures of my checks. And then once the checks were, like, deposited, I actually got a push notification telling me that they were in there. I get
ask you a question, though, real quick? Without the minimum balance and the monthly fees and the overdraft charges and the ATM charges, how do they fuck me?
Here's the crazy thing about it. They don't fuck you. How about that?
Huh.
That's...
Yeah.
But, like, how do they operate? Because it's like, if you give me...
Is there an option on, like, on the app that you can select fuck me?
Yeah. Because, like, if you give me $5, right? Mm-hmm. And then you say, yo, G-Man, need that $5 back. And I just give you $5 back. I didn't get anything.
Right. So it's complicated, but interest is involved, I bet. I don't know. It's a real bank, though. They're FDIC insured, and they don't sell your data and stuff.
I would almost trust... Good character. It's weird that I am having a hard time trusting it, because they don't want to fuck me every day, every moment of my life, for, like, half the shit that I have.
The other cool thing about it is if you have spending goals, Cindy and I are saving up for a down payment on a house, and we tell Simple how much we want to save and where we want to get to, and it'll actually automatically save that much and tell us how much we can spend to stay on track. So it's a bank that's like not actively trying to fuck you, which is heartbreakingly revolutionary. And that was the original tagline, but they couldn't get it past the censors and also Obama. So simple.com/mybrother. You can fix your shit.
I got a message. Don't make me say it.
For Big Daddy Hoffman.
What was that accent?
For Big Daddy.
Okay.
Big Daddy's got to get his piece of the pie.
Okay. Kind of,
Elizabeth Taylor and kind of Hot
Jimmy. Yeah,
five.
Kind of.
We got to celebrate Big Daddy Hoffman.
It's from Eric. Can you do anything
with Eric.
That? Okay. Eric says
Eric needs to get his piece of the pie too, okay. But a smaller piece than Big Daddy.
For a smaller name. Eric says to Big Daddy Hoffman, "Happy birthday, big guy. Although you're just one malpractice suit away from losing your license, and you probably should have become a cobbler or a dog cobbler instead. People and dogs love shoes," it says in the middle of this message. It feels like this guy's trying to push his agenda on
his cobbling agenda.
Yeah, for dogs, dog cobbler. It's been great having a doctor friend to buy drugs from. Is dog cobbling a viable career choice? What I really mean to say is, I miss my dad. And then it gets cut off here.
It says 100 years.
You ran out of characters.
100 years choices. Happy birthday, Big Daddy Hoffman.
Listen, Big Daddy Hoffman, we're very proud of you. Please don't sell drugs to your friends who will then brag about it on humongous radio broadcasts.
That doesn't
sound
like something Big Daddy would do.
No? To get a little bit of something on the side?
I think that's a joke that Eric is making.
Yeah. You're gonna have a sore throat, Travi, if you keep that up.
No, it actually is loosening up a lot of the phlegm in there.
Gross. I have another message. Oh, happy birthday, Big Daddy Hoffman. Your friend Eric sounds like he might not be the best influence on you.
Real choice friend there.
Got another message for Ruth from Brent. You want to do anything fun with that, Travi? Like a different
Ruth. Brent.
Okay.
I said it with a smile. Can you hear the difference? Here, okay. Ruth.
That's a frown.
This is with a smile. Ruth.
Yeah. It sort of the intonation changes. Can you do it with like a really sad frown?
Ruth.
Yeah.
I'm Ruth. That's how you sound, Ruth.
Happy birthday, Ruth. Why do you sound so sad all the time? hope you have an excellent year in which you discover how Babby is formed. Maybe you'll also have adventures in which you learn exciting things, like the fact that dolphins are not mammals and the dark truth about Canada. I'd better stop before the brothers segue to horses, ghosts, or ghost horses. Much love, Brent. You know what we haven't talked about in a while?
Dolphins.
What? Dolphins. What's up with those things?
It's pronounced dauphin.
Are they dauphin? Are they fish?
The horses.
There is a fish called the dolphin, and it is delicious.
That's confusing, right? I remember being a little kid, and they had dolphin, and I was eating it. I had this real, like, smug, shit-eating grin on my face. Like, take this, you adorable bitches. And then someone told me it was a fish and not the mammal. Why would they name two things dolphin?
Ruth, we're very happy for you. Sounds like you got a big year ahead of you.
It also kind of sounds like you're 12.
Are you 12, Ruth?
Well, because she's going to learn how babbies are made
And she's probably pregnant.
And about dolphins?
Maybe she's pregnant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I hope she's
fucking
not 12.
Dullard.
I don't think she's about to go into sixth grade where they have like sex ed and also dolphins.
And Canada class.
You learn your times tables, you go to Canada class, and then you learn how sex works. I don't think that's true, Travis. I think
have you been to that new club, Sex Works?
Hi, my name is Hrishikesh Hirway, and I have a podcast called Song Exploder. In each episode, a musician takes apart one of their songs and piece by piece tells you the story of how it was made. You get an inside look into the creative and technical process and a unique view of a song by hearing just the drums or just the guitars or, say, just a Wurlitzer piano. If you're a fan of music, if you make music, or if you just like to learn how things are made, come check it out on MaximumFun.org. Thanks.
You want a Yahoo?
Yeah, I guess I do. I guess Yahoo. I always did.
This Yahoo was sent in by John.
But then I had a lot of growing up to do.
Yeah.
But the magic was in you all along. It wasn't in the question.
And that's been the Wonder Years series finale.
Thank you. Good night.
Sent in by John Severs or Severs.
What if at the end of the Wonder Years, the camera panned back and it revealed that it was not an older version of Kevin, but rather an older man that had been following him around for 6 years? The camera just pulled back one, like just 6 inches, to show Daniel Stern there looming behind him. The entire time. And then the last shot is just him stabbing him. The end. The end of the show. And you've been talking behind this kid's back for 6 years.
Good
show.
Those, yeah. Wonderful, wonderful years. Did you guys watch Wonderful Years? John Severs or Severs sent this in. Thank you, John. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Todd Blown, who asks, why does Domino's need to do a quality check on their pizza? I ordered a pizza from Domino's online, and they gave me an up-to-the-minute report of what they were doing. Order placed, prep, bake, quality check, and delivery. Well, it's kind of nice to get immediate feedback of just where my order is in the process, but I wonder, what is the quality check stage? After they bake it and before they deliver, do they really do a quality check on the pizza?
This is actually a really good question.
It's an amazing question.
It's a really fantastic question.
What I love about this is that Tony's saying, like, let's be honest, guys, I'm just going to shove it in my face.
Well, no, it's not just that. Care. It's like, I've never worked in a pizza place. My only, like, I guess I worked concessions at a theater. It doesn't really count. I did work at a yogurt place. I mean, frozen yogurt. And, I became like a fucking cog in the machine. If somebody would be like, I want vanilla with the sprinkle, dankle, tink, tink. And then I would like put all that shit on it without thinking. And then it would be the same every fucking time. How much variation is there on these Domino pizzas, which I imagine is an even like more mindless process. Like it is just a assembly line that like you need somebody to like scope out each pizza and be like, oh, you forgot to put sauce on this one. How the fuck did you forget to do that?
The quality check. This pizza's upside down. That's not gonna fly.
Much more likely is they just have to have something on the pizza tracker and they don't want to have like arguing over who's going to drive it to you.
Yeah.
Jim takes a smoke break.
Yeah. We put the thing on the little conveyor belt and we go smoke of the fattest blunt and we are gonna drive to your house.
There was
Jim scratches self and then debates whether to wash hands.
Jim sneaks off to the break room to study for his GED because he's finally busting out of this joint and he's going to make something of himself and start a new life. So there's no room for that. I'm just hungry. Speaking of which, on the pizza tracker at Domino's, it not only says what activity is being performed on your za at that
says who moment, does it.
It says who does it. And we got into when that first started. We noticed when, like, we would have friends over and we'd order some Domino's that it was always a guy named Daniel that made the pizzas.
Oh, Pizza Daniel.
Pizza Daniel, as we referred to him, yeah. So Pizza Daniel, I had some friends. This was, like, literally whenever Domino's decided to stop sucking. So, like, 4 or 5 years ago, we ordered Domino's last weekend. And who should be preparing the pie? But Pizza Daniel. Daniel, if you're listening, you're doing a great job. I just need you to, like, advance in the org. I feel like your time...
you're, no, hold on. What if this is like an undercover boss thing where Daniel now owns, his last name is Domino, like Daniel Domino, but he still comes back because he cares about you because you gave him his start in the pizza industry. And he's like, did Justin order a pizza? I got this.
I got this one. Listen, I'm the CEO. I make bank. But if my boy J-Man needs him a slice, I will
do it. I know how he like it.
That's probably not how it actually
happened. And I do know how I like it, to be fair.
I think Daniel do know how he like it.
I think he's stuck underneath that crust ceiling. And I think he needs to I think he needs to bust through it. I think every time you're being an enabler, Justin. Although I do love, like, I remember every time I would come over and we would order Domino's at your place, and we were usually doing something else, like playing board games or something like that. You would load up that pizza tracker screen and you would turn it towards to face all of us like it was the fucking scoreboard at a fucking football game.
Or like a countdown for a nuclear launch.
Yeah. And we would get like really nervous, like, it's been in quality check for like 5 minutes. What could the fucking possible issue be?
You know, it's funny. You always see them in quality check. You never see one get bumped back, though. They don't
update. Started over.
Started over. Was not good.
Had odd number of pepperonis. Would not pass.
Was bad pizza.
Trying new. There's a secret spot on the tracker line right behind quality check that just says trying harder.
Look deep within ourselves and realize wasn't our best.
Sometimes they'll go back to quality check and then get bumped back again. And it's like, we are just not on our game today. Please forgive.
Somebody grilled it. Where the fuck did they even find a grill?
Forgot to bake it.
Forgot
to bake.
Made pizza soup.
Mildly poisoned. I'm 25 and I have a small, tight group of friends.
You're the worst man.
And my sister. I used to say when I get married, my best friend from high school would be my maid of honor. But lately, we haven't been best friends. She now only calls my sister to hang out, and I only see her if we're all together. I also am becoming closer with other friends. I'm getting married, and I don't know if she still expects to be my maid of honor, but I no longer want her to be. Should I talk to her about this or just make the decision? Thanks so much. I'm a new listener, and I've got a lot of episodes to catch up on, but I love the show. That's from Fighting Friends in Philly.
There's easy answer for this.
Okay, I'll see if we agree, because you've been through this more recently. What do you think, Dino?
Okay, Justin, write your answer down on a piece of paper.
Well, no, it's not something I personally went through, because I don't think there was any question for who it would be. We had that triangle solution figured out pretty far in advance, and it took a lot of the legwork out of it. But, like, there is, like, some similar level to this in terms of, like, who you invite, who you include in your bridal party. And I will say this. If you have a friend who you are no longer super, super close with, that friend is probably also cognizant of that distance. And if you ask them to be your maid of honor, it is going to put them in a genuinely super, super weird position. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where you say, like, we don't, like, talk anymore, but I want you to be my maid of honor because of some, like, arbitrary pact we made when we were 15. That's going to make them feel very uncomfortable.
That's the thing. It's like it sometimes you're kind of putting the cart before the horse, because this should be one of those moments where it's not an opportunity for you to rekindle a friendship. It should reflect where you're at in your life and who you would want in that position. So it should be exactly who you want. Like, it doesn't matter. The fact that you are not choosing her is a statement on where your relationship is at, but, like, now's not the time to try to repair it. You should put who you'd feel most comfortable with there. I mean, that's the honest reflection of your relationship.
I really feel like there's, like, a statute of limitations on that kind of, like, discussion and promise. You know, like, kids who, you know, like, pretended marriages when they were 8 and had their best friends be their maid of honor, I don't think that best friend is rolling up at 28 going, you picked your sister? But we had a deal. I feel like if you haven't talked about it in the last year, like, she probably isn't thinking about it either. Or if she is, it's like, I remember when we talked about that once. Man, I haven't seen her in forever.
But, like, if you're getting married at 27 and you made somebody a promise at 21, Jacob Dunkel, that maybe they would be included in a special way on your special day, Jacob Dunkel. Promises were made on the river that night that apparently I'm the only one that remembers.
Does she actually say that her sister would be the maid of honor should she not choose the best friend?
No, she does say she's becoming closer with other friends.
Yeah, you know what, honestly, and this is kind of pragmatic of me, but like, I say have your sister do it, just because you're going to keep knowing your sister and you're never going to regret that. And it sounds like you're not like great with friendships right now at this point in your life. And maybe you just
want to... It's kind of a rebuilding year for friendship.
Yeah, it sounds like you're kind of a rebuilding year. Maybe just stick with the one relationship that you are going to continue to have.
Because the other side of that is, if you don't have a clear front runner for your maid of honor or matron of honor, best man or whatever...
Then have a reality show about it.
Yeah. Going with a relative, especially a sibling, is usually like no one in your friend group is going to be upset that they weren't picked.
Sure.
I feel like everyone kind of goes, well, yeah, it's a sibling. Well, yeah.
I think there's like the thing everyone thinks about when they're having a wedding is, will this person be offended if I don't include them in some way? What you don't think about, and what you absolutely should, because it's the thing that it's the only thing you think about the day of, is this like giving this person too much authority or credit or involvement in this wedding that does not reflect like where our relationship actually is. Like if you invite somebody that like you've hung out with twice, they're gonna feel kind of weird, and you might feel kind of weird like having them there. That's not to say that any of us necessarily did that for our weddings, but it was like we realized while we were inviting people, like, oh man, it's gonna be weird if that person's there. Like that will be weird for us.
Yeah, I'm usually Mr. like keep everybody happy. But for weddings specifically seem to me an opportunity to like really be honest and like not punitively honest. It's just not an opportunity to play politics. Like,
yeah,
it is a perfect honest statement of like where your relationship is at, and like if they want to fix that later or whatever, that's fine. But like no one has a right to get hurt by that. It is like literally the most honest thing you can say. There are other people in my life that, I want with me. And it is perfectly reasonable for you to be as selfish as you want and not consider other people's feelings, because it is your wedding. It is your day to do it. So
one of the criteria Teresa and I used was, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, when we look at our wedding pictures, who will be the people that we would regret not seeing in them? And who would be the people that we would still be hanging out with and reminiscing about the day with, and not like, hey, who in this moment have we had a really good time with?
Who sells us weed right now?
Yeah.
You don't want to look in when you're 70 and you're like thinking about your memories before both of you are shuffled off this mortal coil. You don't want the last thing you see is you don't want that to be weed, Brian.
Right? And you don't want it to be like Karaoke Kim or whatever. Like, who is the person that like, if you went through some shit, that's not your weed deal. Unless it is.
But unless,
What if you have a really solid connection with your weed deal and you're like, we want Weed Brian up there?
Or what if you have you have a tenuous connection with Weed Brian. And then, but then he turns out, hey, you know who we should hang out with more? Weed Brian. Yeah, I like him a lot. And then you're 70. Who's sitting next to you as you're flipping through your photo album? It is Weed Brian. And he's 70. And he still fucking parties harder than any of you motherfuckers.
But in a really, like, conscientious, like, I always feel closer when I'm partying with Weed Brian.
Yeah,
I feel
like a respectful,
closer to my
safe,
chosen deity.
Yeah.
Safe way.
He plays shuffleboard with me on Thursdays, and he sells me the dankest kush. It's tight, tight bud.
I love Brian.
I love Brian, and I love his product. Here's a Yahoo. It was sent in by Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user Bunny, who asks, have you ever felt someone's body heat when they were near you but weren't touching you? It's so cool.
sorry. What were you saying? I was too busy throwing up.
Dear listeners, if you are ever aware that you are having this experience with me, please do not make me aware of it.
But that's not their fault, because you run hot and you irradiate.
That is true, Justin. You're a fucking friend.
You've got a hot chassis.
Especially post-show when I'm in my kimono.
Oh, my God.
The makeup's coming off. That's pure sexuality there.
It's not even talking about sexuality. We're talking about literal physical
just heat.
Celsius, Kelvins.
I'm nothing but.
I run cool. I get like a lizard up on that stage. Uh-huh. I gotta think fast. I gotta have quick
reflexes. That's true. Griffin doesn't show up on thermoscans.
No, I don't. I'm invisible. Can't be targeted by drones. Nice try, Obama.
Never tell you at the time Griffin killed Predator.
I killed Predator with my cold, cold body. I did a show.
What could do it.
He said, I hear jokes and I love these jokes. Ah, then got behind you.
And what's funny, Justin runs hot, Griffin runs cool. I run just right.
You run just right. I feel it. I think this is one of the many, many things on this earth that science just can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
Body heat.
Well, I think they got it.
No,
I think they've probably figured that
this
out.
This is Griffin. Just one of those. It's just one of those things like chakras. It's like chemtrails. It's like ESP.
Why someone's hair smells good.
EDM. Why does hair smell good? It's you know what it is? It's my aura. And it has a color, and you can look at that color, and you can tell what my astrological sign is.
And that color is warm.
Well, no. Well, yes. The color is warm. But it has nothing to do with feeling it and picking it up with your thermoreceptors. There's an extra receptor.
You're saying that we interpret it as body heat, but that's just because we're reacting to the aura that this person
has. Yeah, you're feeling my color.
Uh-huh.
It's an ochre. You just don't understand, I feel like, these concepts that I'm giving you.
I mean, body heat is a concrete thing. You have a temperature, and if someone's close...
What causes that temperature? What? Right now, I'm sweating.
Your blood?
Burning of calories.
Okay, but what are those? Come on, let's do this. You started this. Let's finish this together.
I will take you down this road. All right.
Okay. What even is a calorie?
A calorie is a unit of energy.
Okay. Where does that energy come from, though?
From the food.
Right, but... I made a loaf of... beautiful sunflower oil bread yesterday. And I don't remember. Let me think. I put sunflower in it, and I had ancient, I had reclaimed grains that I put in there, a vegan egg that I put in there. I don't remember the part of the recipe where I sprinkled on some energy in it. So just food for thought and food for food.
Well, Griffin, I feel like you've won this one. Really put Justin in his place.
I don't remember putting energy in my bread.
No, it's all right.
Justin, you look like a dumbo.
You look like a dumb piece of shit right now because you tried to step to me. I'm just saying there are things out there science can't explain. And I'm saying heat.
And when they try to, they look like stupid assholes.
They look like dumb assholes. I'm saying heat, energy, hair smells.
Yeah.
That good feeling you get when you dance with a loved one. Can you explain that feeling to me, Justin, Dr. Science? Hey, Dr. Oz, because that's what you sound like right now, a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Got him.
I guess I just...
Maybe Justin's just buying into some of those, quote, textbooks, end quote, I've heard about.
It's just like a unit of energy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, according to what studies have you done, Justin, that have proved that? What have you seen with your own goddamn eyeballs?
I burnt food.
You burnt food. Well, that seems wasteful. Take that, Africa.
Yeah. Hope you guys didn't need that. Oh, what's that? You super needed it?
You super needed that cereal that I burnt?
Interesting. Well, at least Justin learned something. Oh, people are dying in the streets? Well, Justin learned one thing that doesn't even actually exist, because how did the energy get in the cereal in the first place? You figure that out, and then you can come talk to me. Until then, why don't you think about making some donations?
They fortify it.
Oh, my God.
They fortify it.
With calories.
Ugh.
I'm going to just dissolve you with all your logic's going to come crumbling around you. You're going to dissolve at the molecular level, which is something I'd say if I believed in molecules.
So this has been my brother and me.
This has been our last episode.
This has been our final episode.
I hope everybody
finally reject science.
I hope everybody learned something, and I hope that you heard me do the quotation marks when I said learn just then.
I think those are scare quotes. Is that what those are? Thank you for listening to our program. We hope you had some fun listening to it. It is optimal for you to listen to it while you're on Norco, so I would highly suggest taking some of that to really get it.
This is our most 4D episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got synth around and D-box and everything. So we've got Travis, you've got new merch written here. I don't see any new merch up on the store.
So the new merch should be up this week. Okay. Keep an eye out at it. We're not exactly sure what date, but hopefully soon. And that merch is new tote bags, buttons, stickers, bumper stickers. It's really, really
awesome. Are
you
putting up
stuff.
The patch? I love that patch.
Yeah, the patch. The Fraternal Order of Brothers patch.
It's so
Justin Russo.
Done by Justin Russo, we haven't thanked him in a long time, but he did so much of our artwork, and he's so goddamn talented.
That's our visual identity is the result of Justin Russo.
Thank you very much, Justin. And thanks, and we still have thanks to Bob Ball for the intro. We haven't thanked him in a while either.
Yeah, thank you, Bob Ball.
And Bob Ball VO is his website. If you want to get some VO work done, you can head on over to BobBallVO.com and ask Bob to record something for you. He's got great pipes.
And if you want to check it out, the new merch will be on, I always pronounce it incorrectly, topatico.com?
Yeah, sure.
Topajijo.
Topajijo.com. Yeah, so just go to maxfunstore.com, and that will be up there. And if it's not up there, you can still check out our t-shirts and all the other wonderful Max Fun merch options, which there's some really awesome shit on there. So go check it out.
Sawbones stuff, too, if you want that.
Yeah, there's Sawbones stuff on there. We will have a new website up soon.
Hopefully.
I think you guys are really going to dig it.
If you like websites.
MBMBM.com.
And fartpatrol.com.
And fartpatrol.com.
And mysmoothface.com. I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a great album. Great people. We got a lot of positive response from when we had John on the show. It was really great.
A lot of people said that he was much funnier. One guy said he was much funnier than us, that we kind of didn't do a good job.
Like interesting.
He kind of showed us up a little bit.
Interesting.
He's one of the best humans.
He's a good human.
He's a good human. You know where he was last night? He was seeing...
fucking stalking him now?
Fucking President of the United States of America. Playing
out.
I know.
That's pretty incredible. You can follow us on Facebook. It's, my brother, me, MBAM on Facebook, and like us there. And you can also like me on Facebook.
Travis
McRoy. Like my fan page. I'll try to post funny stuff.
We have a fan group on Facebook that's actually kind of been popping off lately. I've been trying to be a little bit more involved in it, but and what's great about it is you have to request permission to be in it, so it's not just like spam bots and dickheads. Because if we see a spam bot or a dickhead, we can just like boot them, and then
they won't let me in. I've been requesting.
Yeah, you know why?
Joined it for like 3 years.
You're always trying to fucking sell us shoes.
That is true.
Yeah,
that's my brother and me appreciation group.
Yeah.
So go check that
I'm
out.
I'm appreciating.
You can follow us on Twitter, MBMBAM, and Justin McRoy, Travis McRoy, and Griffin McRoy. And check out all the other awesome Max Fun podcasts. I've been like obsessively listening to Oh No, Ross and Carrie. So if you want to like learn actual things about science, listen to Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
I don't understand Sawbones. What you mean.
Okay. Oh No, Ross and Carrie and Sawbones. And then there's tons of Wham Bam Pow, Jordan Jesse Go, Bullseye, Judge John Hodgman. I'm going to miss a bunch, but go check them out. You'll love all the other Max Fun shows.
Sorry, I'm oil pulling. Do you guys want that final Yahoo?
Yeah, hit me.
This final Yahoo was sent in by our best friend, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user, period. It's just a period. Who asked?
Wait, punctuation mark or the name period?
No, just punctuation mark. Nice. Period asks, only answer if you play Yu-Gi-Oh! And weird things happen to you often?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother and me. Kiss your dad. So there are the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I am Ricky Carmona.
And we are the cast members, what? I don't know. Podcastiness of Wham Bam Pow. That's an action sci-fi movie podcast you can find on MaximumFun.org or on iTunes. And what do? News, reviews, and things you can use.
Tons of things you can use.
We break it down so it can forever be broken.
Hilarious jokes. Plus, sometimes there's a dog in the studio.
Sometimes there's a dog here.
We'll see you in your earbuds.